Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Welcome to Texans on Tap. I'm Brandon Strange with Charlie Pulillo and Josh Jordan from SportsMap. You can read their work on SportsMap.com or follow them on X at Pulillo and at JoshJordan975. The Texans host the Lions on Sunday Night Football. I think the reality of Houston's lack of depth on offense is really starting to hit home with most of the fans and media. Charlie, you tweeted Tuesday after the deadline that given the amount of activity by other teams like the Chiefs, Bills, Steelers, Ravens, it's pretty easy to grade Nick Caserio. Okay, so what's that grade?
Well, here are all the good things Caserio did at the trade deadline. There wasn't a magic bullet trade that Caserio would have made to vault the Texans to the first tier of contenders. You know, he'll sell the nonsense of, well, we believe in our guys. And, you know, in the locker room, they know we believe. Yeah, the Chiefs don't believe in their guys. The Ravens don't believe in their guys. The Steelers, the Bills. All those teams made impact acquisitions. Now, will they all play out as brilliant moves that push teams closer to a Super Bowl? To be determined. But inertia was poor. Unless you're into acquiring seventh-round draft picks 2 drafts from now, right? Khalil Davis for a 7 in 2026. So it's a disappointment. Certainly graded in a vacuum. Caserio gets an F. He did nothing to improve the football team. A waiver signing or two this week. When you look at the prices paid, right, DeAndre Hopkins went for the biggest premium, at most a 4th-round pick. So to get someone you would project to be better than what you have at left guard, if you want to delve into wide receiver, you're talking a 5th, a 6th-round draft choice. Minimal cost. Minimal is better than the return Caserio got, which was nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it was disappointing to see most of the other teams in the AFC at least do something to get better, and the Texans just kind of sat on their hands. I'm sure they were reaching out, working the phones, you know, doing what they typically would do. There was just, they didn't find anything they were excited about. It, most of the receivers that were around by the time the Texans were really needing at that position, a lot of them had been traded already. So it was just kind of unfortunate that the timing worked out the way it did. So you're just going to have to hope at receiver that Nico and Tank stay healthy, which is something they have not proven that they can do over the last couple of years, because Hutchinson and Mechie have given you basically nothing. I mean, Dalton Schultz isn't doing much. So especially this week, a lot going to be on Tank. So yeah, I was disappointed with the trade deadline. But what are you going to, I mean, maybe you could have gone to the Jags for sure at guard, but you probably would have had to give up a lot. And do they want to trade him in division, even though they're pretty much out of it? It's hard to trade for offensive linemen in the middle of the season, because teams usually aren't willing to give up ones that are any good. So I think with Jarrett Patterson returning from the concussion protocol, he's got to be their plan at left guard, because Kendrick Green really wasn't much better than Kenyon Green when he left the game last week.
Yeah, quick amendment. Amari Cooper did net a 3. In return for Cleveland from the Bills, that Jarrett Patterson is an upgrade at left guard is meaningless, right? If he is that. To this point, the Texans, until they benched Kenyon Green, had decided Kenyon Green was better than Jarrett Patterson. Hence, Kenyon Green starting. Now, maybe part of that was trying to squeeze something out of Green before having to own up to the fact that Caserio absolutely busted on him as a first-round draft choice. It can be a challenge to work in an offensive lineman in the course of the season, but the Texans have been such a disjointed machine of ineptitude, you know, and picking up stunts. They could have just brought in anyone. I mean, the Vikings brought in a left tackle and put him in the starting lineup 4 days later in Cam Robinson, acquired from Jacksonville. Jaguars would be stupid. You know, it's not like they're a contender this year to say, oh, if we help the Texans by giving them Scherf as a temp. Nate Davis, the Bears, a guy with some starting experience in the league, another name that had been mentioned. So I'm not even going to home in on one particular name. But that Caserio added nothing, I think, sends a poor message to the locker room. You know, you can spin it that, hey, we believe in our guys. Well, all kinds of contenders make upgrades to the trade deadline, and those GMs sell it as, hey, we're showing our guys that we're going for it. We believe we can. And the Texans made zero attempts, or at least zero realization of potential upgrade, and that's a downer. Maybe they truly don't see themselves as a viable AFC contender, and even minimal draft choice compensation, Caserio said, no, I'll just hold on to it. Let me add another seventh rounder.
Yeah, you would hate to think that the Texans are not making moves for the sake of overvaluing draft picks. But DeMeco basically said about the deadline that it takes two to tango. They couldn't find a good trade partner. But even if they had traded for, let's say, a receiver, CJ still has to have time to throw to them. And the pass protection has been a concern. So let's get to the preview. The Lions come to Houston as the NFC's hottest team, 7-1 on a six-game streak. Texans are undefeated at home this season, but enter Sunday's matchup as 3.5-point dogs. We did hear some positive news about Nico Collins, that he's trending in the right direction, but neither he or Damian Pierce practiced Thursday. But even if Nico's healthy, it goes back to that same thing that I just said earlier, which is that CJ still has to have time to find them. How do you guys think Houston's offense, as it's currently constructed, matches up against Detroit's defense?
Well, of course, it's poor form to ever root for injuries to an opponent or a player or a team that you dislike. But as a matter of reality, thank goodness Aiden Hutchinson is out. This might have been a game to tell CJ Stroud, hey, you take the week off. We'll subject Davis Mills to having Aiden Hutchinson get after you, who's still fourth in the NFL in sacks for the season, the same number as Will Anderson has. Hutchinson's been out three games since that gruesome leg fracture. Now, at the trade deadline, a contender finding a tango partner. The Lions go out and acquire Za'Darius Smith to hold down or upgrade that pass rush. You know, they're actually hoping Hutchinson can get back if the Lions are in the Super Bowl. You know, Smith's not a premium pass rusher, but he's solid. A guy who gives them another weapon defensively against the Texans' beleaguered offensive line. Lions are just good. It's not a great defense, but it's a good defense. Not a lot of big name brands in Hutchinson's absence, but they have a number of young, really good defensive backs. Brian Branch, who dubiously got ejected from the Green Bay game over the weekend, perhaps a Pro Bowl safety this season, played college ball at Alabama with Terrion Arnold, their first round draft pick this year. After early season big-time penalty problems, Arnold has settled in. Very handsy. Could call for pass interference the first three games. 9 penalties over the first 4 games. Well, he hasn't had one called on him in the last month. I'd still say they'll try to get Tank Dell on him. Go deep and hope you can get a big pass interference call. You know, if not the big home run play. Right now, the Lions' defense is better than the Texans' offense. Certainly off what we saw from the Texans against the Jets. And if Nico Collins isn't ready for a full workload, I just don't see what changes that.
It's interesting that the Lions defense, they really haven't fallen off from a pressure standpoint since Hutchinson went down. And the reason why, they've just been blitzing more to make up for it. So, and we know how the Texans have been handling the blitzes up front. So this could be a scary proposition for them this week. And I was watching something on PFF about the Texans. It's not just the pressures on CJ Stroud. He's also getting pressures. He's getting hurried and he's getting hit. There's different levels of these pressures. So that's a big concern for me going into this game. And I thought it was interesting. Ross Tucker did a little breakdown on the flagship. He looked at 7 of the sacks from last week's game. You know, what happened with CJ Stroud there. And 3 or 4 of them were all one of the greens, just basically getting beat right away. So if you can get left guard a little bit better this week, that could almost alleviate half of the sack concerns that the Texans are dealing with, if they could just shore up that guard position. Otherwise, you know, a couple times Stroud hung onto the ball for too long or You know, there was one that Scruggs and Shaq Mason weren't working together real well and gave up a sack there. But if they can just get left guard sorted out, I think that's a big deal. But I'm just going to come out and say it. They haven't reactivated Nico Collins yet. And it's Thursday and they're already practicing and he's not practicing. And based on what D'Amico says, they don't typically play guys that don't practice. So I got to think you're going into this game without Nico. So it's going to be Tank and Mechie and Hutch and tight ends. Of course, Joe Mixon, that might be a big key to where 2 weeks ago, Mixon caught four balls. And then against the Jets, he didn't have one catch. So if you're not getting your production from your tight ends or your other receivers outside of Tank, at least check the ball down to Joe Mixon. And that's also a good way to get the ball out of CJ's hands a little bit quicker.
Things you would never, ever admit. If you're at full strength as the Texans, what do you truly think of your chances in this game? So is discretion the better part of valor? You're not forfeiting the game by saying, you know what, Nico, give it one more week. Because heaven forbid you come back against the Lions, you get drilled anyway. Collins aggravates that hamstring, and most of the rest of his regular season is over. That goes against the mentality of being a winner, but you do have to balance practicality against that. So you have to trust what the doctors say combined with what Nico truly feels in there.
They have to cut down on C.J. Stroud's hits, though, and not just the sacks, but the hard contact that he's taking after releasing the ball, to Josh's point. On the other side of the ball, Houston's defense has their work cut out for them because the Lions offense can put up some numbers. They've scored 40 or more points in three of their last five games. Jared Goff, efficient through the air. Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery getting it done on the ground. Among the Texans players that didn't practice Thursday was also Will Anderson Jr. Houston's defense has been good this season, but do they have enough to contain Detroit's offensive firepower?
I don't see it, certainly, if Will Anderson is hobbled at all. The Lions have probably the best tackle combo in the NFL, maybe the best overall offensive line in the NFL. You know, if somehow you could just distill it to a two-on-two tag team epic of Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson opposite Taylor Decker and Penei Sewell, that would be something, because you're talking four elite players or maybe three elite players plus a really good one in Decker. The Lions probably have the best center in football now in Frank Ragnow. They have a two-headed monster at running back in Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery, the lesser of whom is averaging 4.9 yards per carry. The other guy's averaging 5.9 yards per carry. They each have seven touchdowns. Amon-Ra St. Brown is a better version of a healthy Stephon Diggs. He just works magic all over the middle of the field, a high-volume guy, first-team All-Pro last season, on pace for a third consecutive 100-catch season. And, as if the Texans didn't have enough to account for, Jameson Williams seems to be woefully immature, but he's back from a two-game suspension, and he's basically as good as, if not a better version, of Tank Dell, an absolute burner who sees the ball, averaging 21 yards per catch on his 17 receptions this season. The Lions have a really good tight end, too, who does not make $12 million per season, in Sam Laporta, who must be accounted in the middle of the field. Jared Goff, the last five games, a couple of soft opponents in there, we get it. But if you're in a 7-on-7 drill, completing 84% of your passes, that's nuts. That's what Goff has done over his last five games. 11 touchdown passes, zero interceptions over that span. This is the best offense in football. Ben Johnson is the true hot name offensive coordinator for a head coaching gig. And let's throw in, to circle back briefly on the Lions, Aaron Glenn is their defensive coordinator, who's probably also getting the point for serious interviews for a head coaching job.
If we're going to look at some of the positive things, you're getting some guys back this week. Jimmy Ward is now practicing back-to-back weeks, so that's good. Al Shire is practiced two times in a row, so it looks like he could be coming back. Jeff Okuda was brought back from being injured, so I think he was on the IR, right? So he might be able to play this week, and that could be a big deal. Amon-Ra St. Brown is a stud. And Jalen Petrie, being your nickel corner, if you line him up on Amon-Ra St. Brown for most of the day, it's going to be a disaster. You saw what happened in the Jets game when Petrie had to go up against some of their top-tier wide receivers. He's not a corner. He's a safety that has some cover skills. But you can't put him against one of the best receivers in the league all day like St. Brown and expect that to work. So they got to have some other plan. And as Charlie mentioned, Jameson Williams is a flat-out burner. He can get over the top. So him being back is a big deal. They have a great running game. It's Sam Laporta was one of the best tight ends in football last year. He's kind of had a down year this year, but they have so many weapons to throw the ball to. It's hard to get everybody some numbers. So this is going to be a big challenge. And if you don't have Will Anderson on the other side to apply that other pressure, I think it's going to be a long day. But one good thing, Texans, but they're undefeated at home, right? They play a lot better at home, but they're down a lot of key weapons in this one. So, and CJ Stroud, was he throwing one touchdown pass in the last three games? They got to get out of this funk.
Quick self-correction, David Montgomery, 4.4 yards per carry. Jahmyr Gibbs, 6.4 yards per carry, but that's still tremendously potent. And to something that, Josh, you hit on in detail after the Jets debacle, you know, the Texans play from behind in this game. They're going to get absolutely destroyed because the Texans' second half offense basically has been nothing for most of the season, along with the idea that, hey, if the Lions got a lead on you in the first half, that you're just going to shackle that offense in the second half. You know, there are only four franchises to never appear in a Super Bowl. The Texans, the most recent franchise to enter the league, but look, they're 0-22. The Jaguars, the Browns, and the Lions. Right, the Lions have been there the entire Super Bowl era, like the Browns as a city, two different franchises. Lions, this could finally be their year. They look like the best team in the NFC, and that's still without Aiden Hutchinson.
After this game, Texans go to Dallas, face a spiraling Cowboys team. They host the Titans at home and then go on the road to face Jacksonville. So with that in mind, how big of a win would this be for you? So not only from a tactical standpoint and the scheduling with that soft slate of games following, but just from an optics standpoint, a signature win like this at home?
Oh, beyond optics. I mean, it would be massively impressive. Being the best team in the football that has won six in a row, that has been obliterating opponents, that won at Minnesota. And then there is the standings, right? The Texans win this game. The next month on paper is cake. And the Texans are right there for the two seed, right? They enter this week a game behind Buffalo after the Jets butt kicking and the Bills winning over Miami. But if the Texans were to rip off five in a row, unless Buffalo is going to stop losing entirely, remember the Texans have that tiebreaker over the Bills. And if they get the two seed, they're two home games away from the AFC Championship game. But that first hurdle right in front of them, Detroit, is a massive one. But this would be one of the best regular season wins in franchise history if they pull this off.
It would get them back in that conversation of being a real Super Bowl contender. They were that, but now that we've seen them get wiped out by the Vikings, the Packers game, Detroit coming in is the best out of all those three, and the Texans couldn't hang with the other two. So, and the Texans are probably going to have to do this with one hand tied behind their back with Nico being out and possibly Will Anderson. It would be a massive win. I don't expect it to happen, obviously. I'm surprised the spread wasn't a little higher than it is. I think they're giving the Texans some credit for, hey, these guys play a lot better at home. CJ Stroud can hear the offensive line, maybe can communicate a little better. And all this week, Vegas hasn't known what the deal with Nico was going to be either. But as we get closer to game time, it's looking worse and worse. So it would be huge because then you would be hearing all that, oh, Texans, they could, you know, they're going to take care of the division. Now they're a real contender. They've shown you they can beat one of the best teams in the league. Everybody will be talking about them again in a good way. But, you know, after that loss to the Jets, I mean, the Jets were the punching bag of the NFL, and then the Texans go and lose to them. And then the Texans kind of became that for a few days until all the Sunday games kicked off.
Before we get to predictions, I want to get your final X factors for Sunday night's game. And we're also interested in hearing everyone's X factors. So make sure you tell us in the comments if you're watching on YouTube. Charlie, what's your final X factor or X factors that you'll be watching for in Sunday's matchup?
I'll go one each side of the ball. I think Joe Mixon needs to have a huge game. The Lions have given up some yardage on the ground, yards per carry on the ground, 4.8, I think the number is. Generally, I think time of possession is an overrated stat, but boy, if you keep that Detroit offense sideline some, which would also preserve some pass rush energy for the second half for the Texans, if you're in the game, but you need to get after Goff. And so there's the defensive side. The pass rush better have a big day. Right? DeNico, Autry, especially if Anderson is out. You know, Goff has had a reputation in the past where, oh, yeah, if everything's fine and dandy around him and he can just sit around and take his time and hit targets, but get pressure on Jared Goff, Well, Minnesota, with all the exotics, Goff tore them up. I think it was 10 for 11 against blitzing Vikings. They just appear to be on top of their game. Goff's getting the ball out in a hurry, kind of peak Tom Brady, Patriots offense style. But if the Texans can't fluster Goff one way or another, I think the Lions just have too many weapons.
They have to have a specific plan to deal with Amon-Ra St. Brown in the middle of the field. I went over it earlier. They can't just run Petrie out there on him all day long. That's not going to work. I think D'Amico knows that. So they got to have a plan there. That's for sure. And then on the other side of the ball, just show me that the offensive line is showing some improvement this week. Don't get CJ hit so many times. Brandon, you mentioned the schedule. If they drop this game, it's not the end of the world. They're going to be favored in their next three games. I mean, Dak Prescott's, he's not going to play, it doesn't look like. And they can win those other two games, what, Titans and Jags? No problem. So, and it's an NFC game, so it's not the end of the world. But if you get CJ hurt, that is the end of the world. So show that you're making some progress with the offensive line here. And the other problem with CJ is some of the accuracy's gone down, but it's because he's not really stepping into his throws as much as he used to, for obvious reason. He's got people in his face. So his mechanics are starting to break down a little bit because of the pressure, and you don't want that. So you got to find a way to show us the offensive line is improving and that CJ looks more like CJ. One touchdown in three games is not CJ Stroud.
Yeah, and that's why I'm going to say Bobby Slowick is going to be my X factor. This obviously isn't a make or break week for all the reasons that we talked about, the softer schedule following this. And look, if a good Lions team comes in, you're competitive and you get beat, putting up a good fight, tip your cap. But if the Texans just get absolutely rolled by Detroit, I just don't want to hear about depth. It's time for Slowick to convince this fan base that he's a legit play caller. We know he can design plays. But with CJ Stroud running for his life, he has to figure out a way of bailing out CJ instead of vice versa. We mentioned it in the open. Texans are 3.5-point dogs as we record this. The point total is around 49. Josh, we start with you this week. Final score predictions, Lions, Texans.
Based off last week, hopefully I'm not overcorrecting too much here, but I had a bad feeling about the Jets, but I went ahead and picked the Texans. So this week I'm going to go Lions 27, Texans 20.
Texans have only scored more than 24 points twice this season. The Lions average over 32 points per game. The average score of a Lion game this season is 32 and change to 18 and change. I'll narrow that gap just a little bit, but I'm going Lions 30, Texans 20.
I know Detroit is tough, but you know, Houston is undefeated at home, and it's really tough in the NFL to win 7 in a row. We don't have to worry about the Kenyon Green experiment anymore. I'm going to predict with my heart and not my brain this week. I must say Houston gets that signature win by a field goal, 26-23 Texans. That's going to be it for this episode of Texans on Tap. We hope to see you back here live on YouTube Sunday night following Lions Texans. So make sure you're subscribed and click the bell for notifications so you know as soon as we go live. Come on back and join us. Hopefully we're breaking down a Houston upset at home. Until then, go Texans.